Shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb. Lift up your voice and pray and say, Father, in Jesus' name, receive your adoration, receive your praise, receive your thanks for all that you have done, for all that you are doing, for all that you are yet to do, for all that you will decide not to do, because it will be in our interest, and for all that you prevented from happening. Can you lift up your voice? And in the space of 1 minute, just somebody be grateful unto the Lord. I am always amazed at the mercies of the Lord, at the benefits of the mercies of the Lord in our lives. I'm always amazed at the things that the Lord is doing in this house. I'm always amazed at the things that the Lord is doing in the lives of individuals. I'm always amazed at the things that God is always doing in my life. Lift up prayer and thank the Lord for his goodness and for his kindness, for his mercies. Now you heard all the testimonies. Lift up prayer and say, Lord, we thank you for all these testimonies. We thank you, Father, for all these testimonies. Oh, the power of God is so here. The power of God is so here. Anytime thanksgiving goes up, the power of God is activated. One of the things that stirs up the power of God is thanksgiving. Somebody keep thanking the Lord. Keep thanking the Lord. Keep thanking the Lord. Remembering his goodness, his kindness. How the Lord preserved you on the road. How the Lord protected you whilst you were asleep. How the Lord gave you provision when the enemy wanted you to be without provision. What a good God we serve. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Rabaru Sibahari Kabayos and Telebeye. Ibradoshantalabaya. Makadaba. You want to thank God for the encounters that we had. 3 days of encounters. I shall recover all. Lift up prayer. Thanking him for all that he has done. We came to say thank you, Lord, for showing up in your working presence. In all the 3 nights that we were here, we are so gracious and graciously blessed and favored by you. We give you praise, O Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. Jesus' blessed and mighty name. So, Father, we thank you once again for another gathering together in your presence. And we say that, Lord, have your way. Bless our souls. Bless our heart. Bless our bodies. Lord, and may our meditations and may our appreciation and our worship be acceptable in thy sight. Bless your word, O Lord. Let your word be a blessing unto us. Satisfy us fully. Grant us understanding, comprehension into your word, that we might be able to do the bidding of your word. In Jesus' name, no one will leave here to say. Soak myself in the blood. And we ask, O Lord, every spirit of tiredness, every spirit of fatigue, whatever, that rested in Jesus' name. Let your name be glorified. And somebody shout me a believing amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together and take your seats in heavenly places. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus, the owner and the builder of this church, and the author of our destinies, the finisher of the same. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. We bless the name of the Lord for his faithfulness and for his blessings towards us. And today, I want to give you a word that the Lord has given to me for the church today. I kept talking about it couple of weeks ago, and I'm excited to share it with us. But I know that you were blessed throughout the prayers and fasting. Hallelujah. I shall recover all. How many of us know that we've had an encounter with the Lord? Okay. Now, you know that usually when you are planting, it is not the planting time that you receive the harvest. It is after the planting time. So I'm telling somebody that after the 3 days of prayers and fasting, this is when you are going to see all the recovery. Hallelujah. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of financial recoveries. There's going to be a lot of health recoveries. Relationship recoveries. There's going to be a lot of academic recoveries. Career and then job recoveries. And there's going to be a lot of spiritual recoveries. God, people's spiritual giftings have been activated. Yeah. People will manifest the power of God so much. Even at their workplaces, people will come into contact with you. Their sicknesses will vanish. And they will ask you, what is around you? Then you say, why? Say, when I came around you, something left me. Hallelujah. But one good thing is that the Lord will preserve you. You're going out and you're coming in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. I want to talk about the mystery of the Lord's Supper. The mystery of the Lord's Supper. Why do I want to talk about the mystery of the Lord's Supper? I want to talk about it because we are supposed to understand the doctrines, the teachings, and the doctrines so that it will be a blessing to us. Hallelujah. Now, when you read the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and then verse 15 to 17, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15 to 17, says, and from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And 16 says that all the scriptures are given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine. Somebody say, for doctrine. Now, what is the purpose of doctrine? Doctrine will also bring us, it says it is profitable for doctrine, it is profitable for reproof, it is profitable for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That, you see, look at the purpose of why we have to know the doctrines. Now, the doctrines are the breakdown of the systems of the kingdom, okay? How the kingdom operates. It is like the interpretation. Every country has a constitution, okay? When the constitution is being interpreted, it is like, that is what we call the doctrine. If you don't know the constitution, you will not know your rights, and then you will not know what to do and what not to do, okay? You don't just enter into a country, you don't know the constitution, and then you are just behaving anyway. By the time you realize you are at the wrong side of the constitution, the things that must benefit you will now be fighting against you. The things that you must dominate will now be dominating over you. So in the kingdom, there is a constitution. Now, for us to understand the constitution, we understand the constitution of the kingdom through the doctrines of the kingdom. Praise the name of Jesus. That is why Paul is saying that, he said, when we know the doctrines, he said that the man of God, that the woman of God, that the child of God will be perfect. The purpose of doctrines is that we'll be perfect. Praise the name of Jesus. And look at the next statement. Thoroughly furnished. My goodness. Unto what? Unto all good works. So, you see, even prayer, you must know the doctrine of prayer. You see, you may know an aspect of the kingdom. But knowing the doctrine is knowing the do's and the don'ts, the benefit, the pros and the cons. Praise the name of Jesus. So it is important we know the doctrines of the kingdom, so that we'll be able to know what is ours and what is not ours. And then he said that then we'll be perfected and then we'll be thoroughly finished. Thoroughly finished means that there is no error around you. You understand what I'm saying? Now, we have been saved by the blood, but working our salvation is a product of our, you know, responsibility. You know, it's like we buy a car for you and then we give it to you. We have given you the car, but maintaining the car is not the duty of the one that gave it to you. It is your duty. That is what Paul meant when he said that we work out our own salvation by fear and trembling. It doesn't mean that you do something to be saved. No. Once you receive the salvation, you have to use the salvation. You have to work. What did Paul say about grace? He said, the grace of God that came upon me, I labored more by the grace than anybody else. So what we do Ladies and gentlemen, by learning the doctrines is that we learn them so that we can be perfected. We can do what the Lord wants us to do so that we can possess what the Lord has made available for us. Praise the name of Jesus. So today, it is a teaching or it is, I'm doing an exposition on the doctrine of the Lord's Supper. You know, Jesus introduced us to his body and his blood, but he didn't give us doctrine. In fact, many of the things that Jesus taught us was an introduction. Remember, Jesus said, when Jesus was on the earth, Jesus was operating fully with the Holy Spirit, and the disciples, the apostles were operating in the measure of the Holy Spirit that was upon Jesus. And so Jesus one time told them that, I have many things to tell you, but you can't contain them now. If I tell you, you'll be confused. You can't handle them now. And then he said, how be it, when the Holy Spirit comes, he shall teach you all things and even things to come. So there were things that Jesus wanted the church to know, but we didn't have the capacity to understand it. And so what he did was that he introduced them. For example, Jesus introduced the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but he didn't give us the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. It was Paul that came to teach us about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Praise the name of Jesus. In fact, even in the book of Acts, the early church, they operated the Holy Spirit without having a proper understanding of the Holy Spirit. So it was Paul that came. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 13 and then chapter 14, he began to put in order the operation of the Holy Spirit and give us the doctrine. Jesus introduced us to the communion. He didn't give us the doctrine of the communion. It was Paul, again, to the church of the Corinth that he started teaching about the communion in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And so it is important that the doctrines that have been made available for us, we know them, we understand them so that we will be perfected and we will be thoroughly finished. So the purpose of this teaching today is that when we understand what the Lord's Supper is, what is the Lord's Supper? You know, because many churches, every church, almost, I don't know which churches don't do anyway, but any churches that as long as I've been on the earth, every church that I've been through practices the communion. And please listen, everything in the kingdom is supposed to be beneficial. Can you write that statement? It may look very simple, but it is very, very, very important. I want you to think about it. Everything in the kingdom, every doctrine, every practice in the kingdom is supposed to be profitable and beneficial to the kingdom citizens. Everything that you see we do in the church, it is supposed to be profitable to the citizens of the kingdom. But why do we not benefit from it? Because of lack of understanding. It is very, very, very important. Because of lack of understanding. When there is lack of understanding, there is no profitability. And Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, when Jesus came to the place, and then let's read from verse number 11 all the way to 12. And then, in fact, let's read verse 19 and then verse number 23. Let me cut certain things off. I'll explain them in the talking. Now, so in Matthew chapter 13 and then verse 19 and then verse 23, Jesus was talking about the parable of the seed sower. And then Jesus said, when anyone hear the word of the kingdom, you see, in other words, when you see any practice in the kingdom, any practice in the church, and you understand it not, then the wicked one will come and then catch away even that which is sown in your heart. You see? But look at the verse number 23. He said, but he that receives seed into good ground is the one that hear the word, or the one that see the practice in the kingdom and understands it. So when the person understands this, the person will bring forth fruit, bringing forth some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. So anything in the church, it is important that the church understands it. Why do you take communion? Well, ever since I started going to church, we have been taking communion, so I also take communion. Why do you take communion? My mother told me that it is the body and the blood of Christ, so we have to be taking it. But do you understand it? No. That is why it doesn't benefit you. Now, it is like medicine. Now, listen to me very well. hope the youth are listening to me, and because I need all of you to hear me and then understand it so that you'll be blessed by it. Now, if it's like medicine, if you don't understand medicine and then you just take it anyhow, it can destroy you. It's supposed to be helpful, but it can end up destroying. Praise the name of Jesus. So in the same way, understanding the mysteries of the kingdom is very, very, very important. Now, understand that redemption has packaged us for two things. Minimum of two things. Number one, redemption has packaged us to reign. Revelation chapter 5 and then verse number 9 and 10. By redemption, we are supposed to reign upon the earth. They sang a new song saying, He is worthy to open the seals thereof, for you were slain, has redeemed us unto God by your blood out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every people, and every nation. And verse 10 says that, And you have made us unto our God kings and priests, that we should reign on the earth. So number one, redemption has packaged us to reign. To reign means to dominate, to take authority, to be in charge. That is what reignship is. Redemption has packaged us, number one, to be in charge, to reign, to be in charge in your vicinity, in your life, anything around you. You must, now when we talk about being in charge, we are not talking about just position, that you must be the CEO. Redemption says that I'm in charge, so they employed me. The CEO must give his chair to me. That is not what we are talking about. We are talking about the fact that when you are there, because you are there, decisions that will be, this every decision that must affect the nature of the area you are must respond to you. Is somebody understanding what I'm talking about? That is what it means when we talk about reignship. It means that you become the thermostat in the place. You change situations. You may not be the top physically, but by your presence there, something must happen. Something must take place. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, in Genesis chapter 39, Bible said that Joseph was in the house of Potiphar, and the Lord blessed the house of Potiphar for the sake of Joseph, not because of Potiphar. Potiphar had all the credentials, but his house was not blessed because of him. His house was blessed because of Joseph. That is what it means to reign. And number two, the second thing that redemption has packaged for the child of God is that redemption has packaged exemption. Exemption. It's very important we know these two things. Exemption. What is exemption? Exemption means that what is happening to others, when it gets to you, it ceases. Amen. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 to 3. He said, Arise and shine, for your light has come. He said, There'll be gross darkness in the whole world. Right? For behold, there'll be darkness. Yeah, verse 2. For behold, there'll be darkness upon all the earth, gross darkness upon the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you. Why? And his glory shall be seen upon you. So that what will happen? Look at verse 3. And then the Gentiles shall come to your light, and then kings to your brightness. So redemption has packaged us to reign, number one, and number two, that we should be exempted. You know, Christianity is a call unto exemption. Isaiah chapter 43. When you read Isaiah chapter 43 and then verse number 3 and 4, right? Isaiah 43 verse 3 and 4. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. And then verse 4 says that, since you were precious in my sight and you've been honorable, I have loved you. You see? And I will give men for you. Salvation is a package of redemption. Okay? And it is by this redemption that we reign, and then we are also exempted from the issues of life. However, our access to the package of redemption is a result of we understanding the mysteries of the kingdom. Hallelujah. So, what is the communion? Very quickly, what is the communion? Or what is this that we take? How many of you have taken communion before in church? The communion, yeah. Now, so what is the communion? Simply put, it is, or what is the Lord's Supper? That is how we actually call it. What is the Lord's Supper? It is the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. It is the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Man of God, what are you talking about? I thought it was bread and drink. Yes, it is bread and drink. But in the kingdom, there are many things that happen. In fact, in the kingdom, we call them mysteries. They are mysteries because physically, you may see them as one thing, but spiritually, they are another thing. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord's Supper is the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And it has two elements in it. It has the body, and then it has the blood. Now, there are places when you go, the communion may be just the body. It is not complete. There are places maybe they will say that it is the blood. It is also not complete. The communion is a complete meal of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 26 and then verse number 26 to 28. Let's read it and then I will tell you why the Lord Jesus gave us his body and his blood. And I will tell you what is in the communion and then we'll be done for today. Now, look at Matthew chapter 26 verse 26 to 28. And I need all of us to understand this because it is something that everybody, every child, every adult, once you're a believer, wherever you are, you must be able to know. There are, you know, there are children who when they are sick, they know that I can take Tylenol. They can walk and then go and take Tylenol themselves. We got to understand these things and teach them to our children so that wherever they are, they can administer the mysteries of the kingdom because they are mysteries. They are mysteries of the kingdom. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, when, if before we come to verse 26 of this one, when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, he says that, let a man so account of us as the stewards of the mysteries of the kingdom. So there are mysteries. There are mysteries. A mystery is a hidden secret from humanity by divinity. If heaven, if spirit hide a secret from human beings, it is called mystery. If I hide a secret from you, it is called a secret. But if heaven hides something from us, it is called a mystery. And we discover mysteries. That is why there are many things that we don't know the solution to. For example, the last time I was talking about the fact that some years back, many years back, malaria was a killer disease. Okay? Why was malaria a killer disease? Because the mystery of solving malaria had not been discovered. Nobody knew how malaria was going to be knocked out. And then one day, the mystery was downloaded. The secret to overcoming malaria was downloaded from heaven and people saw it. And now malaria is no more a mystery. Is somebody understanding me? There is a solution. So he says that, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards. We are stewards of the mysteries of the kingdom. So we got to understand these things that we are talking about. So the communion, now go back to Matthew chapter 26 and then verse 26 to 28. The communion is the body and the blood of Christ. He said, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, you see, and then he blessed it, and then he broke it, and then gave it to the disciples, and then he said, take and eat. This is what? Come on, this is what? My body. But I thought it was bread that he took. Yes, it was bread that he took. You see, this is what makes it a mystery. You can't understand it if heaven doesn't open your understanding. You might think that it's just some bread. Oh, but it is some wafer. It's some white wafer. So why do we eat it? Oh, it is just a religious something. You know, every church does it. So that is why we do it. No! Jesus took bread. It was bread. He blessed it, broke it, and then gave it to the disciples. And he said, take and eat. This is my body. Verse 27 and 28. 27, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them. And then he said, drink ye of this. Why? Look at verse 28. For this is my blood. I was thinking that it was drink. Bible said it was drink. But all of a sudden, when Jesus blessed it, and he gave it to them. He said, it is not just drink. You are still seeing it as drink. But once it has gone through the process, it is no more drink. Now, do you know that the medicine that we people take, the pills that people take, for example, some of these white pills, they are made up of cornstarch or maybe cassava starch and then some elements, okay? They pick all those elements, they put them together, and then the starch binds it together and becomes white or all those kind of things. And then people are taking it. It was starch and things that were put together. But when it was put together, it was no more starch and things. It was APC. or probably it was what? Tylenol. Do you understand? Now, do you know that when you break Tylenol, it is made up of components that have been brought together. They were components. But when it went through the process of being brought together, it was no more component with cornstarch. It now became Tylenol. Is somebody getting it? So, it was bread. Indeed, it was bread. Indeed, it was drink. But when it went through the process, Jesus didn't say that it is bread again. He said, it is my body. And he said, it is my blood. And do you know why Jesus gave us specifically his body and his blood? Because sin created two impact on humanity. And you can write it. Very, very important. Sin created two impact on humanity. The first impact is that it made humanity lost its identity. When sin came into the world, when sin was introduced into the world, man lost his identity. And number two, the second thing that happened is that man lost his identity. It had an effect on our identity. And the second thing is that it had an effect on our bodies. So sin has two major effects on humanity, on our identity and then on our bodies. So ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus gave us his blood because it is his blood that recovers our identity. It is blood that recovers our identity. And he gave us his body because what his body did was that his body was broken so that our bodies will not be broken. Is somebody understanding it? Praise the name of Jesus. Now, can you write these things down before I go to how the bread and the drink becomes the body and the blood of Christ? Now, there are many people with many ideologies about the communion. Write them. So, I have here about 7 misconceptions about the communion. Things that people think about the communion, which is not so. Number one, the misconception is that you need to be perfect to take the communion. Yeah, there are people who think that except you are 101% with God, you can't take the communion. It is a misconception. The communion is not only for the sustaining of our bodies, it is also for the recovery of our bodies. Jesus gave it to us because we were sick. He didn't give it to us because we were full or we were healthy. He said, the healthy ones do not need the physician. Praise the name of Jesus. So, very quickly, you need not to be, there is a misconception that you need to be perfect to take the communion. It is not exactly so. It is the communion that actually perfects us. And I will explain all that in the course of time. Number two, the second misconception is that only the leader or the pastor or the man or the woman of God can administer it. It is also not correct. Every child of God has access to the mysteries of the kingdom, including the communion. Every child of God. Dear, you can administer communion to yourself wherever you are. You see, you can administer communion to yourself. You can be at the workplace, you can administer communion. Recently, I was having a conversation with my daughter Zoe. She said, "Daddy, my tie or whatever is paining me." And I said, "Okay, I'm going to pray for you." He said, "Do you want me to bring communion?" And I said, "Yeah, bring communion." Yeah, she said, "Do you want me to bring?" I said, "Bring communion," because I've made them to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Is somebody understanding me? So it is not. All you need to know is to have understanding of what the communion is and how it becomes the communion. Number three, there is a misconception that it should be taken once in a long while. Once in a long while. Some people think that the communion can be taken maybe once in a year. You see, some too think that once in a month. Some too think that once in a week. In fact, what did Jesus say? He said, as often as you take it. You can take it twice in a day. You can take it 3 times in a day. The only thing is that you must not abuse it. And I'll explain. You see, I'm eliminating these confusions around it so that when I explain, you understand why it is so. You see, that it shouldn't be taken. It is according to your need for it. If somebody is sick, the person doesn't need to wait 1 year before the person takes the medicine. As long as you need that medicine, you got to do what? Take it. So the communion is not for a specific time. As often, Jesus said, as often as you take it. Number four, the fourth misconception about the communion is that unfortunately, many believers think it is a symbol of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. The communion is not a symbol. It is the body and the blood. It is not a symbol. It is. Give me the verse number. Give me the verse number. Okay, give me 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. He says that the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Jesus Christ? So when we bless the cup, the content does not become a symbol. A symbol of a medicine will not heal you. It is the medicine that will heal you. The reason why many people take the communion, they are not blessed by the communion, is because they think that it is a symbol. And a symbol of medicine cannot heal you. It is the medicine itself that heals. So the communion is not, according to scriptures, you know, some theologians have propounded it and churches have received it and have run with it for years. But through the scriptures, the communion is not a symbol of the body. And there is no way. When Jesus was talking in Matthew, when Paul was talking in the book of Corinthians, when Jesus was talking in John chapter 6, from verse number 48 all the way to 58, there was no way he said, this is a symbol of my body, this is a symbol of my blood. He said, for the drink is my blood indeed, and the meat is my body indeed. Number five, what is the fifth misconception about the communion? It is a denominational thing. So unfortunately, you go to some churches, they say that, which church do you belong to? Oh, well, I'm a Baptist. Then if you're a Baptist, you can't eat communion here. Oh, which church do you belong to? I am a Pentecostal. Then if you're a Pentecostal, we are Catholics. You can't eat communion here. Praise the name of Jesus. Is somebody with me? Now, listen, the communion is not a denominational thing. It's a kingdom mystery for every kingdom child. Except they tell me that you can't eat it. But if I go to any place, they are sharing communion and the Spirit of God is there and they understand what they are doing, I eat it. So it's not a denominational thing. Hallelujah. Yeah. If one day I happen to be in the Catholic Church for whatever reason and then they are sharing the communion and then I will just go. And then the Lord tells me, I'll just go for it. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'll just go for it. Because it is, look at that. Okay, it is a kingdom principle. It is a kingdom mystery. It is not a denominational thing. It does not belong to one denomination. Hallelujah. The sixth misconception is that it must be a special bread or a special drink. Otherwise, it can't qualify for the communion. Please write. You know, these things are very, very important. So, where did they bring the drink from? They brought it from Israel. Oh, well, then this is real proper blood. This can be blood. But where did you buy from Kroger? Oh, you bought it from Kroger. No. The misconception is that some people think that the communion, and sometimes when they don't see it as white and as flat as the one we have been eating, no, this one is not the communion. Listen, Jesus took bread. Somebody say bread. And somebody say drink. What you need is a flour product. Flour. Is that how we pronounce it? Flour. It's F-L-O-W-E-R. How would you call it? Huh? No, I'm talking about F-L-O-U-R. How do you pronounce it? Flour. Flour. And then F-L-O-W-E-R. How do you pronounce it? Praise the name of Jesus. Okay. So, listen. All you need, I need you to, you see, the reason why I'm taking my time is, this thing is so powerful, I need you to understand it so that, because it is a mystery. When you grasp the understanding of this, your life will change. I'm telling you, I can give you 1,001 testimonies. And in this house, you've heard testimonies about the communion. What happened to your son? Say, come to me. Come, very quickly. What happened to your son? Tell us the testimony of your son in 30 seconds.
So he had eczema, and then...
For how many years?
For so many, five years or so. Uh-huh. We'll be trying every remedy to heal him. And then I know about the mystery of the communion. Uh-huh. So I started giving it to him, and then it just went away.
For over 5 years. Over five years. Listen, when you have understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom, you reign and you are exempted. That is what I started talking about. Is somebody understanding me? So all you need is a flour product. It can be bread. It can be a cracker. It can be wafer, like the one we do, okay? It can be the flat shrewd bread. You see, God made it so simple that wherever you find yourself, bread is bread. Flour product is flour product. What you need is understanding and the process of it. Praise the name of Jesus. So Jesus took bread and then he blessed it and then he broke it. He took the cup. So this is how. Now, is somebody watching me? Give me some gloves. Give me some two gloves here. Now, and I'm going to show you, and I need you to watch me very well. You see? Now, okay. So, man of God, why are you saying that anybody can take it? Because Paul said that if you take the communion unworthily, what did Paul mean? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's start from verse number 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Now he said, now this I declare unto you, and I'm not praising you, that when you come together, you don't come together for better things, but you come together for worse things. Now, what was Paul talking about? Can we keep on reading? We are reading all the way down. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are many divisions amongst you. This one is not talking to this one. This one is complaining about this one. This one is angry at this one. This one, he said, I partly believe it, even though I'm not there. I partly believe it. For there are many heresies amongst you. Gossips. This one got that. Have you heard this one about this one? Have you heard this one? He said, there are so many gossips around you. This is Paul's church. So I thank God for holy hell. We are blessed. Hallelujah. At least there are not many gossips like Paul's church. Amen. We thank God. He said, that day which are approved may be manifested amongst you. Look at the next verse, verse 20. Now he's going to go into the mystery of the communion. He said, when you come together, therefore, unto one place, this is not when you are coming to eat the Lord's Supper. But then look at the next verse. He said, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is, give me NLT for verse number 20 and 21 so that my brothers and sisters can understand. I understand this one, but look at that. He said, for I am told that some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some of you are hungry while others get drunk. Now, do you see this statement? Now, what was Paul talking about? This is how they used to share the communion. Watch me. I promise you I'll be done very soon. In the early church, they understood. Before Paul brought the introduction of the doctrine of the communion, they were practicing it because it has been downloaded to them by the apostles. So they were just doing it religiously, but they were not doing it spiritually. So what they were doing was that, for example, if they were going to take the communion. Now, if we come to church. Yeah, hold it for me. Now, so look at that. I need to speak in the mic because of those the recording. Now, so what they would do is that, for example, the leader, what the leader does is that the leader would take the bread, okay? And in those days, the church was not as many people as we have in our churches today, okay? In those days, myself and my wife and my children, we are a church. Margaret, the mom, and the neighbors around. It's a whole church. That is why they could say that, greet the church in Chloe's house. Greet the church in Trowell's house. Greet the church in Bishop Prince's house. It was a whole church. Now, when the church started growing, they started congregating. Okay? Now, so when they came together, and that is why Paul started by saying that there are many divisions amongst you. So it meant that when they went to church, because of factions, okay, Jemima and my team, we are here. Okay, Enoch and his team, they are also here. This team doesn't talk to this team. This people doesn't talk to that. Are you getting it? So the communion was supposed to be like this. The man or the leader will have to take the bread and then bless it. Father, we bless. Father, we bless the bread. This is how they were. This is how the communion. This is how the bread and the drink becomes the communion. Is somebody watching me? Now, so the leader will take the bread first and then will bless it. Say, Father, we thank you for the bread. It is bread. But when we bless it and we break it, it is no more bread. We receive it by faith as the communion of the body of Christ. Now, the moment he finished blessing it, he breaks it like this. Now, exactly what I have done. Once this thing is blessed and broken, you are seeing it as bread, but before God, it is not bread. It is what? The body of Christ. Is somebody understanding me? Now, after they have broken the bread, then they will start sharing it. So, say, you take this one, and then break yours, and then pass it on. You take yours. Are you seeing it? So, this is what they were doing. Take yours. Now, yeah. Keep going. Take yours. Break yours. Now, are you seeing how they were doing it? Are you seeing how they were doing it? Now, the problem was good. Now, you keep breaking, keep breaking, keep breaking. And then, watch it. And then, after the bread has been broken, I didn't say you should eat it all. Some people have already finished eating this.
That's what Paul said. You are hungry.
This is what Paul said. That if you are hungry, eat before you come. So that you understand the process. Please, is somebody understanding me? Get, break yours. Okay. Now, the problem that Paul's church was having was that because of the division that was in. Like, for example, if I break it and I give it to this man, because this man has an issue, what's your name, brother?
John.
Because Elder has an issue with John, Elder will not give it to John. Or because Elder came very hungry, Elder said, no, this whole bread, man, it will not continue the journey from here. So that was what Paul was saying, that if you are hungry, eat at your home, because it is not a party. It is not a buffet. He said, you eat it without discerning. Now, so let's keep on reading. Is somebody understanding? I'm told, is somebody understanding it? He said, what? Is this really true? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace the church of God and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say about these things? Do you want me to praise you for these things that you are doing in error? And then let's keep reading. Verse number 23. And he said, in case you don't understand the communion, for this is what the Lord himself said, and I'm passing it on to you, just as I have received it. The night when he was betrayed, Jesus took a loaf of bread. My goodness. Is somebody following? He said, when he took the loaf of bread, he said, look at that. He gave thanks, just like I did, and broke it. It was a loaf of bread. When he finished breaking it, he said, this is my body. Do you understand? So this thing that I blessed it like that and I'm broken it, you may see it as, well, whatever, bread, but it is no more bread. If you eat it as bread, you are not discerning the Lord's body. You see, that is why I respect the Catholics when it comes to the communion. I tell you, I was born and bred a Catholic. When they break the communion and they finish, the priest will clean the palate, that the fragments are nothing.
They revere the communion. No wonder it is the oldest church in the world. Because they preserve one of the greatest mysteries of the kingdom. But in the charismatic and in our today, because many people don't understand what the communion is, they just take the communion. Oh, this now, can I have more? And you know, when we share the communion, sometimes people don't even know that it is the body and the blood of Christ. But Bible said that. It said, it is my body. Can you imagine eating the body of Christ and drinking his blood? I want you to think over it for a moment. Now, and then he said, do this in remembrance of me. Give me the next verse. He said, in the same way, he took the cup. You see, now, so what the leader will do is that when he blessed the cup, everybody has another cup. Then I'll pass it on. Then you pour some in yours. You pour some in your cup. You pour some in your cup. Is somebody understanding me? Because we all have to eat and drink together. Let's keep reading. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant between God and you. Hey! He said, sealed by the shedding of my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. Now, so anytime we partake in the communion, we are actually showing to the devil why Jesus came and defeated him. So listen, anytime, anytime you eat the communion with this understanding, Satan and the kingdom of hell are shaking. Because they know that, hey, it's like resuscitating something that is dead. It is like lifting up the evidence again, showing the devil that this is what overcame you 2,000 years ago. And it is still potent today. Look at that. He said, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are Lord, give us understanding. He said, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes. So when you don't eat it, the devil doesn't remember. You are announcing it until he comes. And then let's keep reading. He said, so now watch it. Watch it. He says, so if anyone eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily, that person is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. What does it mean? Let's keep on reading. Verse 28. That is why you should examine yourselves before eating the bread and drinking from the cup. What did he mean by examination? The next verse will explain. What is examination? For if you eat and drink of the bread and the cup unworthily, you are not honoring the body of Christ. You are eating and drinking judgment upon yourself. Because of this reason, very quick, please, my time is up. Very quickly. He said, this is why many of you are weak. Many of you are sick. And even some people have died. The next verse. Look at the next verse. He said, but if we examine ourselves, we will not be judged of God. What is the examination? The next verse. Verse 32. He said, when we are judged, the Lord disciplines us. Verse 33. Verse 33. So, dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, tell somebody, wait for each other. You see that he's not trying to explain what it means not to discern. It's like, you know, because it, and please listen. Now, there's one more thing that I need to tell you. We call it what? The Lord's what? So, it was not these pieces of bread that you eat and you go and sleep. It was real buffet. But it was bread and drink. Supper. What is supper? Supper is not small. It was a real meal that they ate to go and sleep. Do you understand it? And of course, it was because the congregation was small. Okay? Now, so he was saying that when you gather together, wait for each other. Number 2, 34. If you are really, really hungry before you came, Benedicta. He said that. Look at that. He said, do what? Come on, help me. He said, do what? He said, do what? Eat at home before you come. Huh? So you won't bring judgment upon yourselves when you meet together. Is somebody understanding me? Now, the reason why Paul said that they were, because they didn't know. They thought it was just, oh, but it was bread and drink. We are eating to go and sleep. He said, yes, sometimes when you come to church, you may eat it like that because it is not the Lord's Supper you are taking. But when you decide that it is the Lord's Supper we are taking, then that one, don't see it as bread, because that is what, even today in the world, people are seeing it as bread. He said, don't see it as bread. See it as the body and the blood. See it as the body and The blood. Praise the name of Jesus. Because when you eat it without discerning, without this understanding, it becomes condemnation to you. Because you eat it in anger. You eat it cheating each other. You eat it in division. You understand? Because you are not in my group, I will not give you a portion of it. Now, how does this bread and this drink become the body? Three things. We bless it. We break it. We receive it by faith. Do you understand? So when you get home, anytime, and then you pick bread and you bless it, Father, or it may be cracker, any flour product. Father, I bless this. I don't feel so good in my body. But Lord, I know you have universal medication for me. And then you pray, and then you break it. And then Lord, I bless the cup. I receive it as the blood of Jesus. To show the devil what you did, that you conquered sicknesses, that you conquered shame, that you conquered what I'm going through. In Jesus' mighty name. The Lord's Supper. Now, what does it do? Can I give you four things it does? Number one. Please, do you understand the teaching today? I'm not done, though, but I'll continue on Wednesday because it's too powerful. Number one. The communion supplies the God kind of life. It's called Zoe. Z-O-E. Every day, tons of poison enter our bodies. The reason why the Lord gave us his body and his blood is anytime we partake in the communion and it enters into you, John, what it does is that it opens its mouth to swallow any poison that enters into your body. You see, it becomes an antidote. Now, what did the Lord say in Mark chapter 16 and then verse number 17? Mark 16 verse 17. He said, watch it. He said, these signs shall accompany those who believe. They will cast out devils in my name. They will speak with new languages. The next verse, verse 18. He said, they shall take up serpents. If even they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Why? Because I've already given them my body and my blood as a neutralizer. You see? So when you partake in the communion, you have a neutralizer, a supernatural neutralizer, because it has supplied the life of God in you. Can you imagine poison killing Jesus? Huh? Can you imagine poison killing Jesus? Can you imagine food poisoning affecting Jesus? And he says that, I give you my body and my blood. So when his body and his blood is in you, the life of the body, the life of the blood is in you. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. He said, the life of the flesh, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So when you drink the blood of Jesus like that, you are drinking the very life of Jesus in you. And let me see that sickness that will have the audacity to appear when the blood of Jesus is there. When the blood of Jesus touched the ground, there was an earthquake. When it enters into your body, why does it not shake every foundation of sickness? Because we don't understand. We don't understand the power of the body and the blood. When somebody takes alcohol and the person is intoxicated, the person speaks under the influence of, the person operates under the influence of, the person behaves under the influence of. Even sometimes when people misbehave and then they are arrested by the police, later on they can defend themselves in court and say that, you know what, I operated under the influence of alcohol. And then the judge will say that because you operated under the influence of alcohol, we will give you a small punishment. But when you take the blood of Jesus, you begin to operate under the intoxication of the blood, the life of Jesus. So you begin to speak and then your words are taken over by the very life of Christ. Hallelujah. Number two. What is in the communion that makes it so powerful? It is the communion carries our seal of boldness. Just like I explained, When you partake in alcohol, not in this house, that person becomes intoxicated under the power of that alcohol. When we partake in the communion, we become intoxicated with the power of the communion. And what is the power in the blood? It is the power of boldness. The greatest weapon of the devil is the weapon of fear. You know, when the apostles, watch this, before the apostles took the communion, fear was all over in them. Fear was all over in them. After they had taken the communion, come and see in the book of Acts, they put them in the presence of magistrates. They began to talk as though they were learned. One of the things that it does is that it generates boldness. If there is any fear in you, let it be paralyzed in Jesus' mighty name. Number three, right? What the blood does is that the blood is our seal of exemption. It is our medium of exchange. John chapter 6 verse 51. In John 6 verse 51, he said, I give my body for the life of the world. Look at that. I am the living bread. We came down from heaven. If any man eats it, okay, of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh. That is why I say it is not a symbol, which I give for the life of the world. There is something called the life of the world. We have two kinds of lives. We have the life of the world and the life of the kingdom. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 talks about the fact that we have been redeemed from the life of the world into his glorious kingdom. But sometimes the life of the world can show up. What is the life of the world? Sometimes it is addiction. Sometimes it is a certain weakness. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, it is some affliction. So it is either an addiction or an affliction. And Jesus said, I give it for the life of the world. This is one of the reasons why in the case of Peter, he was able to bounce back because he had taken the communion with Jesus. Unfortunately for Judas, he did not allow the blood and the body to work in him. But in the case of Peter, the body and the blood worked on his weakness. It worked on his weakness. And I pray for somebody today. As we partake in the communion today, anything that is lacking in your life, let it reconstitute in Jesus' name. Let it work perfectly in Jesus' name. Now, so why do we give us this little bread and this little... Because, brothers and sisters, in our congregations today, we cannot feed us with bread. What do I mean? A church of 200, a church of 500, a church of 1,000, a church of 5,000, if we want to produce bread for us, in the book of Mark chapter 8, verse 4, the disciples asked Jesus a question. When Jesus said, let's find food for them, the disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? So what we do is that we take a flour product, which is called a wafer, like this. It is not the quantity. That is why Paul said, eat before you come. It is not the quantity. Is somebody understanding me? It is not the what? Or the volume of the cup. And I went to do a program somewhere. I gave communion. One guy will eat it. Like Tayo has eaten hers. And I gave second time. He ate it. Third time. Yeah, I said, sir, please wait for us. He said, man of God, where I'm coming from, the things that you have taught, I need the communion to rescue me, to join you people at your level before we take the communion together. So when we take the bread like this, all you need is to understand that, Lord, this is bread. But as I bless it and I break it, it is no more bread. Now, what I have here is not bread. It is what? Lord, I bless this. It is no more juice or whatever. I receive it by faith as the blood of Jesus. You are going for an interview and you take this. Let me see the person that will say. As you are sitting there, you see, let me tell you something. Can I tell you this in person before I conclude? Listen, when you take the communion with understanding and there is somebody from the world of darkness and they see you, they will see you with blood in your mouth. Are you getting what I'm saying? So as you are speaking, it's like, right now as I've taken the communion like that and I'm talking, if somebody has spiritual eyes, the person will see blood in my mouth, real blood. And it is not the blood of animals. It is not the blood of humans. It is the blood of Jesus. And the blood speaks. So once you are beginning to speak, you go for an interview with a communion. You have eaten communion with this understanding, and you are sitting there talking. And the person looks at you and says, wow, I don't know who is best for this occupation. The Lord bless you. The Lord increase you. This is part one of seven. One of seven. Amen. Can we take communion? Are you ready for it? Do you have your bread that has been broken? And now the body? Get some drink and let us accompany it. Let us accompany it. Let us demonstrate it. And now, one thing that I should tell you very importantly, please, as they are sharing, listen. The communion is always neutral. It is what you say over it that it does. Now, what does that mean? It means that whenever you take the communion, declare what you want it to do in your life. You understand? Remember the testimony of Dr. Ernest. Ernest was here. And then, how many of you remember his testimony? Yeah. Ernest was here. We were taking the communion. I explained it for the first time for his understanding. He said, Lord, I'm believing you for admission for my PhD. He had tried. They said, no way. He took the communion 2 days afterwards. They called him. The same place. They said, did you say that you want the grant? Now we have increased it for you. It changes everything. Whatever you need, I want you to say it over it. Close your eyes for a moment and then say it over it. Father, we thank you for it. Now we break the bread and we receive it as the communion of the body of Christ. Shall we eat together? It is for your healing, for your recovery, for your prosperity, for your freedom, for the perfection of your bones. We receive the drink as the blood. Let's drink it together. Now give God thanks. Hallelujah. And sometimes it is difficult to eat the body in public. So we take the small one so that I can swallow it quickly. Lift up your offering unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed by it? We will do the second part on Wednesday. Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord favor you. The Lord increase you. The Lord advance you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, drop in your offering. Let's be on our feet. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Let's share the grace of God together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Let's take our prophetic declaration with long life, full of prosperity and sound health. Shall you satisfy me and my household all the days of our lives. Amen.